So in this parable, first question is, what are the weeds? What are the weeds in your life? Just that question alone without any context. Imagine you could name 10 people or 5 that are weeds. But I'd like to challenge that interpretation. Maybe it's not the individuals that are weeds. Because if you read the church, church fathers and the saints of the church, demonic influences, along with the devils that are in Satan's command, they are can be considered weeds. So, for example, Saint Gregory, he talks about pride as the queen of all saints, but after pride captures the soul, she summons the 7 capital vices as her generals. And each of these generals in turn produces an army of lesser sins, its daughters. So this image of pride giving birth to these other sins, as Jesus says, the children of the evil one. So it may not necessarily be individuals who are children of the evil one, but the sins that come from them, right? Okay. So 3 things this parable teaches us. And these things are related to a theme I bring up again and again. Relationship, identity, mission. So the idea is, like, God wants to give you a beautiful gift of faith. He wants us to be a bedrock of faith. Not just like, oh, I believe in Jesus, I go on my way, right? We need to challenge that idea of once saved, always saved. Oh, I just have my personal relationship with Jesus. Like, okay, no, you need a foundation of faith in it. It's more than just me and Jesus. It's our relationship with Jesus, right? Foundation of faith. But a faith that bears fruit. A faith that makes an impact. Not on my life, but on others. So 3 words from this parable. Grow, roots, fruits. Grow, roots, fruits. Grow. First, in this parable, I think it's very helpful to receive this fact that you and I are not the farmer. Right? A fact whenever we see all the weeds, all the children, that is all the pride in this world, all of the capital sins, all the things in this world that discourage good people of faith. You and I are not the farmer. For those of us with a black thumb, that's great news. Your job, my job, grow towards the light. Grow towards the light. That is our job. Our job starts with a relationship. To be oriented to your God who loves you. Okay? So your job is to grow, right? You see all the weeds. You see all the weeds. Okay, that's not my job. It's not my job. The Lord's aware of the weeds. It's not my job. Go towards the light. Second, roots. The reason that the weeds are so ubiquitous, they're everywhere, is they have shallow roots. To outwit the weeds, we must go deeper than the weeds. We must grow roots. Okay? And so that gets into identity, right? A relationship. Do I know God as my Father? How deep is that relationship? Has it reached the level of my heart? I think of this when I read the second reading. The Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. I mention this periodically. St. John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul, he was affectionately known as the Great Lion. The Great Lion. Because in his morning prayer in his private chapel, his prayer would be this groaning as he just lifted the whole church to the Lord. He would just groan. And so what I mean, like, our Lord wants us to have a deep prayer life. Again, how deep is your prayer? Does it reach the level of the heart where you can bring those groanings? It's okay to start at the level of the mind, memorized prayer. But the Lord wants you to grow deeper, just to tap into your longings, the longings of the world, the pains of the world, and just bring them, Lord, God, I bring this to you. Growing depth of root. The number one way is learning from another mature believer. Okay? So as I'm sharing this with you, again, relationship, not just my relationship with the Father, our relationship with the Father, my identity as a beloved son, your identity as a beloved son or daughter. The Lord wants you to learn that from someone else if you don't already have it. Okay? Grow, root, bear fruit. We're called to take root and bear fruit. So, why is it that there's something in our hearts, like whenever we get the faith, we're timid to step out in faith. We're timid, you know, like fearful. We don't want to, you know, be thought of as, there used to be a term, Jesus freaks, okay? We don't want to, you know, why is it that believers, you know, like it's hard to like engage at that next level? I'm going to share with you a parable by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis told a parable of an ancient philosopher who visited the tyrant of a city-state. The philosopher marveled at the relative peace in the kingdom and asked the ruler how this could be. The ruler took the philosopher on a walk and told him, "You see this field of grain? This is my kingdom. Notice how level it is. If a stalk ever outgrows its neighbors, I knock off the head. So it is in my kingdom." So because the ruler never allowed anyone to excel, because he ruthlessly weeded out leadership and talent, de facto, he was the most important person in the kingdom. And C.S. Lewis extends the analogy, so it is with us. We are afraid to bear fruit. We are wheat that eats its own head. Okay. So, my opinion is that for the believer, bearing fruit is not optional. Like, the Lord wants and actually expects, if you read the other parables, the Lord expects us. He's given you so much. He wants us to grow from consumer Catholics to giving Catholics. Consumer just, me, to, it's not about me. But again, you need those first two first. Because look at it from this analogy. If the farmer has a plant that bears zero fruit, how is the farmer going to treat that plant at harvest time? Is the farmer going to take that plant and like, oh yeah, let me bring you into the barn? No, he's going to treat it like a weed. Cut it down, throw it in the fire. And again, I share this with you not to scare, to frighten, but just to say, like God wants to give you something for you, yes, but so that you can bless someone else. You can bless someone else. And that's why I invest so heavily, I believe, in programs like ACTS and the Alpha. Because I see in those people waking up in their faith and starting to give where they had been receiving. Okay? Good. Now, so which of those three? Do you feel called to grow, like to give up worrying about the weeds and to focus on your Father? Do you feel called to take root, to have a faith that is not only mental, but reaches to the heart? Do you feel called to bear fruit, to take that relationship, that identity, and to give to others as you have received? Okay. I'm going to conclude with a quote by Benedict XVI. The Lord is in control. The Lord is in control. There is hope in the harvest. Benedict XVI. To have Christian hope means to know about evil and yet to go to meet the future with confidence. The core of faith rests upon accepting being loved by God. And therefore to believe is to say yes. To say yes not only to Him, but to creation, to creatures above all, to men, to my neighbors, to try to see the image of God in each person and thereby to become a lover. That's not easy, but the basic yes. The conviction that God has created men, that He stands behind them, and they aren't simply negative, gives love a reference point that enables it to ground hope on the basis of faith. There is hope in the harvest. There is hope in the farmer who wants me to take root, but to be a gift to others. May we grow in our faith so that others may know the difference His love makes. Amen.